considered by many to be one of the greatest plays of the 20th century, Bertolt Brecht's Mother, Courage, and Her Children is set against the backdrop of the 30 Years' War and follows the fate of Mother Courage, an artful canteen woman with the Swedish army, intent on keeping her business and family alive amid the destruction of war.
And Mother Courage and Her Children still resonates today as a profound insight into the moral implications of war. The show is running in the Tina Packer Playhouse as part of Shakespeare and Company's season through August 25th.
The production is directed by Shakespeare and Company's artistic director, Tony Simotas. He joins us this morning. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Wonderful to see you. It features Olympia Dukakis. Welcome. Thank you very much. It's a delight to have you back on our program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Apollo Dukakis is here as well. Thank you very much. Lovely to have you back.
Sure. It's good to be back.
And John Douglas Thompson is with us as well, and an old friend of the show, and we thank you very much for being here.
All of whom join us now, and I'll double what Joe said and raise it one. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's a delight to have you all here. So, Tony, tell us a little bit about the programming of this, of deciding to go with Mother Courage.
Well, last year, you know, we were here for The Tempest, and we had such great success having Olympia on our stage playing Prospera. And, you know, we've said this before, and at one point we were sitting around, and I said to Olympia, I said, well, I said, you had a great time. She said, yes, I did. I said, well, you want to, if you came back, I said, what would you like to do? And she said, Tony, I think I've got one more Mother Courage in me. And so, and I said, okay, because I directed Brecht a long time ago. I did The Resistible Rise of Arturo Uy and had been in it. And I thought that Mother Courage would be a terrific challenge for the company. And to put Brecht and Shakespeare together on our stage just seemed like a natural fit. And really to bring Olympia back in a role that truly has been, has helped to define, I think, American stage. You know, it's just really terrific to have her here and doing a role that really defined her career.
So, Tony, I was just going to ask you one question. As we see the evolution of Shakespeare and Company, and we see the mix, you know, the Shakespeare and the something else, does that keep you up at night?
Oh, God, yes. You know, there's always those questions about, Tony, what are you doing? But the fact is that still two-thirds of our main stage on the Packer Playhouse is Shakespeare. And, you know, we're back at the Mount, and we're actually doing Midsummer Night's Dream again to great success there in the Dell. And so there's, you know, Shakespeare is still a great part of our programming. But it really has always been a part of the company's of spirit to do new work. And so this has really meant a lot to me to expand, you know, the repertoire of the company to include Brecht. And when you have someone like Olympia, you know, there for you, it's like, why not? It seemed like a good time to do it.
Joe, I'm sorry, just one last thing you said, which really is fascinating to me. I know we have all these other wonderful people to get into, but you did say that you're back at the Mount.
Yes,
now, you'll remember when you got kicked out of the Mount.
So, I do remember that.
So this is a sort of reconciliation, right?
Well, it really has been, what I've really tried to do is to expand the creative footprint of Shakespeare and Company. And we were able to work a wonderful deal with Susan Whistler, the executive director of the Mount, to bring us back.
Great lady.
Really terrific. And, you know, we were doing Midsummer Night's Dream on the New England tour, and it felt like the absolute opportune moment to reach out to them. And she was really open-hearted and said, let's do this. And the audiences have been terrific. We had almost 400 people there the other day watching our young company work in the woods again.
So mosquitoes or not?
Oh, well, you know, it's the same mosquitoes since 1978.
You know, something's never changed.
That's right, but it's really been remarkable. And this is all a part of what I hope is how I bring my kind of vision to the company after many years of having Tina at the helm.
Olympia Dukakis, how did you know that you had one more Mother Courage left in you?
I don't know. I think I was deceiving myself. I guess I had the desire for it, and that the appetite for it, and.
When you have that appetite, I mean, that right. feeling of saying, you know, what does that How is that itch scratched, in the sense of when you go out and you do it, the fulfillment that gives you?
Well, if you do it well, it gives you fulfillment. But if there are places, if you don't feel that, then you're constantly driven, pushed to figure out how to do it better, et cetera, et cetera. So what's wonderful is to be in the world of the play, that what it's about, and the final for me is that one way or the other, this woman is going to survive. She's going to go forward. There are some things that she has that make it possible for her to survive, and there are other things that impede her survival, the way she... But constantly what is happening to her is she's dealing with loss. And it's the loss of her three children, because she is so concentrated on winning, on being in business, on getting the upper hand, on prevailing. And meanwhile, she's losing the most precious things, her children. And the three values of bravery, courage, and kindness get destroyed in the world. I mean, that's just a hop, skip, and a jump to what we're all living through right now. And so it felt important to do it, and it felt I wanted to do it. I wanted to be part of, like, bringing that, putting that on the stage and into people's consciousness. I mean, not that I think people are more aware now than ever of the price we're all paying for business and war.
I'm fascinated, because this is the fifth time that you've done this. So does it change as you age, in the sense of you have a different perspective?
Right. I think one of the things I love about doing it is that there's a vulgarity about her that I always shied away from. But with Tony's encouragement.
She's pretty vulgar.
I mean, she will do anything. She lives in the world of men. That's what she lives in. She does business with men. So she's found different ways of handling the situations. And that aspect of it, I enjoy the vulgarity of it.
We talked about it from a point of view. My father's mother was the business person. And in our family business, it was Rose who drove to Chicago in the truck, you know, and argued and cursed the guys on the market to buying the fruits and vegetables. And it was amazing how many similarities there are to, you know, my own personal family to what Olympia represents as Mother Courage. It is strikingly modern in its feel, and as well as timeless in what she says, that will to survive.
I saw you do this at Williamstown.
Oh, yes.
And you did it with your daughter.
Yes, I did.
And so to have that and now be with your brother, it would seem to me that is a lovely thing.
Incredible gift. Yeah, that's I was going to mention that as well, that being able to... I was thinking about it today that probably in the end, the most valuable thing for me personally is that I'm working with my brother. That means the most to me.
And brother, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel the same way. We owe it to Tony for bringing us together. We did the play, Mother Courage, I have to say, 36 years ago, one of her productions that she was in at a theater that we had back east in Montclair, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I, for some reason, I have very little memory of it. There were a lot of events around the production that seemed to overwhelm
me. We fired the director, Tony.
Oh, my God.
A Lithuanian.
Olympia's husband, Louis Zorich, was playing the cook, and he had a terrible automobile accident during the rehearsal period.
Oh, my God.
So the opening of the theater was a big deal. So the play, in a sense, was... of less importance because of all these other life events. But that's why I'm glad to, for me, revisit it and find this character that I was not really in touch with at the time, the chaplain, who represents the religious and spiritual elements. And I think to find where my part, how my part is involved in the whole, it has been exciting because it's so sparsely written, mm-hmm. and that the events happen one on top of the other, and people change on a dime almost. And there are moments where I've discovered in rehearsal where my character gets a lot of knowledge about his own humanity, although he believes passionately about his religion and how that is important in the war. But he learns a lot of lessons about his own humanity, and I found that exciting to have a small arc for this character.
Mm-hmm. When I asked Yo-Yo Ma this morning how he remembered all the notes, you know, he said
from the director, from Tony.
No, the notes on the page.
How he remembered all the notes.
The words. For us, it'd be the words.
The words.
Well, in your case, the words. In his case, the notes.
Notes, right?
In the cello. Okay, so
who says we remember them all?
So my question.
What did he say? What did Yo-Yo Ma?
That's a great question, Olivia. He
said. Did you see the production?
He said no. He said, if you learned them before you were 20 years old, you remember them all.
Oh.
So I'm wondering, the fact that you've done the play.
Oh, no.
Number of times.
You know, as you get older, it gets harder to, the words or the notes get harder to, you know, to absorb and hold on to. This is repetition, and doing the show over and over again will give you that security.
Opening tonight, which we hope you all come and see. And
nice.
But the play is still gelling for sure.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we have had line called. We've had to stop the show. The other night, Olympia got really excited in a moment and was spinning herself around on stage. Got dizzy and had to sit down. We stopped the show. So, you know, it's like.
But if it happens tonight, you ain't stopping the show.
No, but you never know. A line might still be called for because it is live. And I think we have to accept the fact that this play is hard.
Well, when you say a line might be called for, what does that mean?
Well, if the actors get completely lost, they might actually go, line! And so if that happens, you know, it's just a part of the live experience. But, you know, it's anything like anything else. If there's a hiccup or a speed bump, you just go, well, that's what it means to be out there on, you know, dancing on the tightrope. And as long as you get to the other side,
but
I think the audience will have a great
the audiences
time.
Here are so warm and forgiving and understanding. Sure. When that happened, Olympia turned to the audience and said, I'm sorry. And there was a collective, oh.
And they applauded.
Like they understood.
They applauded. It was kind of like. Figure, you know, on the field gets hurt, and then everybody applauds, which I always found kind of odd. Anyway.
Because they go on.
Yes, they go on. They can make it.
But you realize audiences are really on your side, and they want it to work. They want to be.
Sure.
Want you to work. So it was very comforting to hear that.
Yeah.
So John? John Douglas Thompson is, you have been a part of this company for so long and have been such an interpreter of Shakespeare. So what is it like to do the work of a 20th century playwright?
Well, I think it's the same. I mean, for me, my classical career started at Shakespeare and Company. And I don't look at this play as being that far removed from Shakespeare, you know? As a matter of fact, there are similar themes
Good
from
point.
Shakespeare plays that are actually in this play. So it's all in the same world. In a sense, the language is different. In the sense that it's not verse language, you know what I mean? Mm. So for me, the attraction was obviously to work with Olympia, and I get a bonus to work with Apollo, and a triple bonus because we all live together.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
So we have a really great time on stage as well as off. But I had played the cook before in another production of Mother Courage at ART about at least maybe a dozen years ago.
ART, American Repertory Theater.
Yeah, in Cambridge when Robert Bruce was running the organization. We had a Janis Cizaz, I believe he was Hungarian director of that show.
See, they're all from Eastern Europe.
Yeah, this is where they bring the play. Well, the play happens in Eastern Europe. But anyways, it was a very different kind of production, and many of the lines were taken out, and they did some different things with it. So now for me to play the cook is very similar to Apollo, to revisit this character that I never fully got to understand from that first production, that I can have the opportunity to get more acquainted with in this production.
In that getting acquainted, does it do you draw on this on these two actors who have done it before?
Meaning, you're talking
Apollo
Olympia. He
doesn't need to draw on anybody, believe me. Very well. All by himself.
I would be curious, though.
But as actors know,
cutting up his vegetables and all of this.
Active business to do as an actor.
That's right.
But as actors, it's really a game of listening, right? And listening and responding. So I have these two fabulous actors to listen and respond to, which makes the working and me, the handling of my character, that much easier. So part of the beauty for me is to be with these two fabulous actors. It makes my job as a performer easier.
I just heard something, and I want to take it in the right way, but it's just so interesting to me because all of us who live in the Berkshires and who watch people come in and go out, and you said we all live together. All rented a house together. How does that work?
Well, what happens is that Shakespeare and Company has rented a home from the Gateways Inn, which is, and they've done very well with us, and so it gives us a chance to put our actors together in a nice accommodation, and they live as a family. So it actually makes sense that they have a family off stage and they have a family on stage.
Albeit we quarrel. Nice. As the family on stage, and sometimes we quarrel off stage.
Well, what do you quarrel about?
Well, we found that our temperaments are very similar. And so
in the play, we quarrel about religion, politics. Both of us are really, in a sense, looking to survive with Mother Courage and off of Mother Courage through this whole 30 years war situation. So it's really a battle for who's going to be in first place. And I, as the cook, am... certainly in the latter part of the play, I'm looking to get rid of the chaplain so it could just be me and Mother Courage moving through this.
So John,
and I'm hoping to get rid of the cook.
That's right. But that's, so at home, I think they're plotting in their selective...
No, at home, we argue and fight over the remote control
for cable.
That's how you really decide who's got power.
We do.
And
power
I wanted to ask Olympia a question about that really quickly.
I can't stand the commercials. Yeah. I never watched these commercials.
My favorite channel is the old movie channel.
Yeah. Old movie
channel. And so when you go there, and all of a sudden you see yourself on there, what is that? Was that like, I think everybody who's ever wondered about Sam Waterston or you or anybody else said, what is it like when you get to that channel and say, whoa, there I am?
Well, it happened actually.
Yeah,
Moonstruck came on.
And
I was busy telling them stories about what happened. They wanted to watch the movie, and I'm like, say, and then you know what she said here. And then we went off there. And I'm so busy with all of that. I realized it afterwards. The memory of doing it was the strongest thing, not watching myself. That wasn't so interesting.
It was great. We got all this inside information about the making up of scenes and other actors. So I would have rather heard that almost than focus
than watch
on
the
movie.
Yeah. But watching the whole movie is a different experience than making it, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
so
to have her there as a personal commentator.
Oh, yeah.
Watching
the
movie,
And, you won an Academy Award for the performance.
Yeah.
It's not like... I mean, that has to have special meaning just in and of itself.
Oh, well, it does it because of the director. I mean, I feel he was brilliant.
Norman Jewison, just
brilliant. What was on the page and what was up there finally were like two different things. I mean, he did it. I feel like... and it was not only myself, but Cher and Patrick Shanley, everybody, you know... was acknowledged, except Jewison, who should have been acknowledged.
Absolutely.
Mm. Well, in a way, too, I find it...
I hope you get acknowledged, Tony,
well,
in this project.
I hope so. It's positive. But for me, too, I have to say that has been one of the things that the audience will never see, is that the work we did in the rehearsal room, what happened in the rehearsal room, the struggle that was going on at times to realize the play, was so exciting and sometimes just raucous and sometimes very tense. But I think we all believe in what this play is about.
Yes.
And so just as in what a great movie continues to come back and you go, you love seeing it, a play is definitely, more ephemeral. And the experience of right now in our lives being there is really something. I said to Olympia the other day, I wanted to do this play again. And because I just felt like I just started to understand it and what it meant to me. And she gave me a charm that was given to her the first time she did the play, and somehow I felt like a part of great theater history to be given the charm that was given to her.
It was a little wagon.
A wagon.
Yeah. A little Mother Courage wagon.
Mother Courage's wagon. I think that was one of the greatest gifts I could have been given.
Now, Shakespeare and Company is really all over the place. I mean, how many theaters are over there? We were there last night for something else, a wonderful thing. So
we do. We've got all kinds of things. And you know, you go to Shakespeare.org for all that. You know, it's all right there. It's a great website. But right now we do. We've got new plays. We've got Beauty Queen of Lenin coming in. We've had Ensemble for the Romantic Century.
It's an opera, yeah.
Which we have an opera coming up on April 5th. Mm. We're doing new plays. Masterclass is there as well. Heroes, Tom Stoppard. Molière with Les Faux Pas, and then we just closed Richard II, which we'd never performed before. And so we have a really strong lineup of shows, and I'm really proud of the fact that it is a bold season. It's not an easy season. We've put some titles out there with Love's Labor's Lost, things that people haven't seen before. Or very often, and I'm proud of that work.
Is it hard to keep it all financially going?
Well, finances right now.
Oh, no, it's not hard. No,
it's a walk in the park.
So I gave you a slow ball so there.
The phone doesn't stop ringing. People are calling up wanting to give you money all the time.
But it is true that you know, I have to say that last year was a record-breaking season, and this year we're still ahead of last year's ticket sales. So that is good. We are
all right.
We're doing all the things we have to do to make sure our financial.
Well, but as Olivia points out, somebody with an open checkbook would be very helpful.
Alan, if you want to just whip out that checkbook right now and give a check, that'd be fabulous. Now, we're always, like every other arts organization, we definitely are always looking to the future because it always feels like, you know, you're one step away from disaster, sure. But it really feels
good. We know what that's like.
Yeah, you do, because you have great fundraisers. And every time I hear Lockbox and we're already, you know, I go, I want those guys to raise money for Shakespeare and Company. That's what I want.
Well, you know, the fact that you can continue to do what you do and not compromise the art at all, I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
It is. I think that is what I feel most proud about, that to have Olympia and John and Apollo and all the other wonderful actors who are on our stages doing work that means something. You know, Rocco Sisto was here in Richard II, and it was a wonderful production. And it really challenged the audiences as well as the company. And I really believe that's what an arts organization has to do. We cannot just continue to do, you know, the work that our audiences go and make it easy for them. We have to challenge our society in terms of the questions that are out there. And definitely Mother Courage does that.
Mother Courage and Her Children runs in the Tina Packer Playhouse at Shakespeare and Company here in Lenox through August 25th. To learn more, go to the website shakespeare.org, not just about Mother Courage and Her Children, but about all the wonderful productions at Shakespeare and Company, shakespeare.org. Tony Simotas, Olympia Dukakis, Apollo Dukakis, and John Douglas Thompson, a delight to have you all around
this
round.
Thank you very much.
Delight like being here.
And we want to thank, we need to leave the porch. Now that the lights are on, they want to use the electricity, oddly enough. So we need to leave, but we're going to let the musical professionals get back to doing what they do best, and that is making beautiful music. We have many people to thank.
Sincere thanks to all the guests who joined us this morning and for making time in their busy rehearsal schedules to join us. Also, kudos to Tanglewood's Taryn Lott, Mark Volpe, Tony Fogg, and Bernadette Horgan for hosting us, producing such amazing guests, wonderful muffins, and making us feel right at home. It's been a wonderful time, as always.
And a special tip of the hat to all of the engineering and power crews who came in and helped us in our time of need. They did an amazing job. Also, thanks to our Adam Claremont and Pat Cooney back at home base, and Dave Hopper for working out all of the problems as well, and our producer on the scene, Sarah LeDuc. Thanks, of course, to Alan Chartok for being here as always. Thanks to Wilco and Stu Kennedy for our theme music, and first and foremost, thanks to you for joining us this morning. The Roundtable will be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. Stay tuned for the Midday Magazine with Brian Shields.